Father, we thank you for today. We commit today's sermon into your hands. We pray that, Lord, you help us, you keep us. Let your name be glorified mightily over us. Speak your word unto us, convict us, and strengthen us for the season ahead. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. So today's theme is entitled, Entering into a New Season. Entering into a New Season. Entering into a new season. One thing I really want us to understand is this. Life is in stages and human beings are in phases. Life is in stages and human beings are in phases. Human beings, stages and lives are referred to as seasons and times. These seasons and times are not only encapsulated within the calendar year, but these seasons and times are more so spiritual than with reference to the calendar year. So every aspect of your life is influenced by the season you are in. And even as we move through these seasons, it's very important to prepare adequately even as you enter into these new seasons. So today our theme is going to be entering into a new season. How to adequately prepare and how to adequately position yourself to make the best of the season you are entering into. In the light of that, I want to begin with this first point, that God controls the seasons and the times. God is the one who controls the seasons and the times. Throughout your life, throughout any situation. Can you hear me, please? I can hear a little bit of a feedback, so if the technical team can check that. Throughout your life, throughout every situation, the Lord is the one who orchestrates the seasons and times. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, "And he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." So in the light of understanding preparation for entering into seasons and times, the first point of reference is to understand who owns the seasons and times. The Lord is sovereign. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the earth is the Lord's. The Lord is sovereign over all of creation. He establishes the seasons and times. And for you to make the most out of your season and your time, you need to go to Him who gives wisdom and Him who gives understanding. Amen. The second thing we want to highlight is this. God desires engagement with us. So in the light that God is sovereign over all the seasons, in the light that God is sovereign over every creation, one important thing is that His sovereignty is not neglect of His creation. God calls us to a place of fellowship. God calls us to a place of engagement. When we read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18a, can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. Come now, let us reason together. Says who? Says who? So the Lord is eager to reason with you concerning His will, concerning creation, and concerning His plans. The Lord is eager to reason with you concerning His will, concerning creation, and concerning His plans. And it is beautiful that the Lord calls us to a place of engagement. We see that in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, in the coolness of the day, the Lord entered into the garden in search of engagement. We see that with the Lord, with the Israelites, the Lord established a place of meeting. And the place of meeting was even called what? The tent of meeting. God wants to meet with you. God wants to talk with you. God wants to reveal His mind to you. God wants to reveal His will to you. God is a God of engagement. The third principle I want to highlight here is this. The Holy Spirit makes engagement with God possible. I'm going to say that again. We can engage with God because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you are here with me, someone say, thank you, Jesus. We thank Jesus for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our key and the stamp of sonship. The Holy Spirit is the reason why we are able to approach boldly to the throne of grace. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes us understand the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us perceive what the Lord is saying. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us in our fellowship with the Lord. John chapter 16 verse 13. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all what? All truth. What is the truth that the Holy Spirit guides us into? One, the truth of life. The truth of life, in essence, there is no other life except the life established in Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit guides us into the truth of life. The Holy Spirit guides us into the truth of His Word. You can never effectively understand the Word of God until you have the guide of God. And the Holy Spirit is the guide of the Lord. And the third truth is the truth of your decisions. So the Bible says in Deuteronomy that I call heaven and earth to pay witness to you today that you should choose life so that you and your descendants will live. The idea of your choice should not be taken for granted. Your decisions, your habits are tied up to those connected to you. Don't think you are acting in isolation. That is why it's important to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it goes on to say, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. The Holy Spirit is our gateway to understanding the mind of God. The Bible says, who knows the thought of a man save the spirit of a man? And the Holy Spirit has made that thought readily available to believers. Whatever the Lord speaketh to you, the best way to receive is engagement by the Holy Spirit. And He will declare to you things that are to come. The idea of the declaration of things that are to come is that the Holy Spirit guides you and prepares you for the next season. The Holy Spirit reveals what you ought to know pertaining the next season. Turn to someone, tell the person, listen to the Holy Spirit. Shake someone by the shoulder, tell the person, listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you the mind of God with reference to next year. So even as 2026 is approaching, have you taken time to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to tell you? Have you made time to seek the face of God pertaining His expectations for you next year? Have we made time in any way? Majority of the time, many people make time for so many things. But do you make time for God? Even in the house of the Lord, where you are seated and supposed to be fully focused on God, are you really focused on God? So now, the key thing about entering into a new season is that you need to make time for God. And in the light of that, I wrote this point. Making time for prayer and the word is important. Before you enter into the new season, make time. Take some time off and wait on the Lord. Don't enter into 2026 naked. And by naked, I mean not knowing what to expect. Make time for the Lord. Make time for the Lord and pray, because the Lord wants to speak to you. The first thing I wrote is, give yourself unto prayer. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. For God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or what? Set your mind on the expectation of God for you concerning the next year. Talk to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. What sound is that? They are doing what? We bless God for their lives. Amen. The second point, give yourself unto the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a what? And a light unto my what? The word of God is a lamp unto your feet. The word of God will give you clarity on what God is saying. The reason you can't hear from God is because you don't have much of the word in you. As you wait on the Lord, give yourself unto reading of God's word. Give yourself unto prayer. And the third point, if necessary, fast. In the book of Daniel, Daniel said, I gave myself not unto pleasures. Some of you, your pleasure is your phone. Turn to someone and say, can you put your phone away? Turn to someone, tell the person, put your phone away for some time. Some of you, if you are to go a whole day without your phone, you behave like a cocaine addict. If you are to go the whole day without internet, we'll see you walking in Zhongshan Lu and you'll be doing this. As you desire to seek the face of the Lord, put away pleasures. Stay away from the movies. Stay away from the series. Some of you are watching Korean series. I should tell them. What was the name of the famous one? Boys Before Trees. What? Boys Before what? So you know it. You can stay up the whole night. You are watching Boys Before Trees. Boys Before Gardens. Boys Before the Oceans. You are watching all of them. But then when you take your Bible, then you begin to fall asleep. Turn to someone, tell the person, God is watching you. Give yourself unto fasting. And some of us, we can't go a day without eating. Sometimes just decide not to have breakfast. Decide not to have lunch. And seek the face of the Lord. Fasting does not change God, but fasting changes you. It makes your flesh quiet so your spirit can hear what the Lord is saying. And the fourth point, don't be quick to leave. Listen. Listen to what the Lord is saying. So I'm encouraging you, before the year ends, go on a retreat. Get some McDonald's. Make some sandwich. Go to the garden. Sit in the garden. Lay a picnic mat on the floor. Sit down, read, pray. And give yourself to hearing from the Lord concerning next year. You don't have to go to a garden. You can stay in your room. Stay in your room. Stay in your room and just wait on the Lord. But this is a personal decision. Decide that I'm going to seek the face of the Lord for the next season. And even as you seek the face of the Lord, you pray, you read, you fast, and you what? John chapter 10 verse 27. My sheep, they what? I know them and they... So listen. As part of the package of the Holy Spirit is access to the voice of the Father. Listen. And how does the Lord speak? How would the Lord speak to us? By His voice. The Lord will speak to you by His voice. And many of us, we think the Holy Spirit will speak to us with the voice of many waters. Ooh, my daughter. Ooh, my son. Or you want to hear thunder. And you want to say, Lord, is that you? Yes. The Lord will speak to you. He can speak to you through thunder. He can speak to you through the storm. He can speak to you like John, through many waters. But He desires to speak to you in the silence of your spirit. There are three main voices you would hear in your head, in your heart. The first voice is the voice of self. The voice of self always desires to preserve integrity and the flesh. So you hear a voice saying, in the next 3 days, fast. Then quickly the voice of self will say, hey, if you fast, you will not be able to do anything. Your head will ache you. Your body will be weak. The main goal of the voice of self is to preserve self. The second voice you would hear in your head, in your heart, is the voice of the devil. Always going contrary to the will of God. Even as I'm speaking, the Lord is laying on your heart, fast this week. But the devil comes, fasting. Oh, come on. Fasting is an Old Testament kind of thing. Don't fast. Don't fast. Fasting is for weak people. Don't fast. Going contrary to the will of God. And the final voice you would hear is the voice of who? The Holy Spirit. So there are three voices you would hear. The voice of self, the voice of the devil, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Your ability to amplify the voice of the Holy Spirit is when the Word of God has consumed you. Let the Word of God so consume you. Meditate on the Word of God. As you meditate, you amplify the voice of the Spirit. When you fast, you quiet the flesh. For some of you, the reason why you can't hear from the Lord is because your flesh is too loud. Quiet the flesh. So in the book of Acts, chapter 9, the word of the Lord came unto Saul. The Lord speaks through an audible voice. And in the life of this voice, it's not, majority of the time, it's not going to be the sound of many waters. Sometimes it's going to be the voice of your inner head. The same voice. Another way that the Lord will speak to you is through dreams and visions. So we see in the book of Matthew, Joseph received a dream and an angel of the Lord spoke to him, saying, arise and go to where? Egypt. The Lord will speak to you through dreams. There are four lines of visions. The first line of vision is called the night visions, which is also called the dream. So the book of Job said, Whilst I slept, the Lord opened my ears and gave me instructions through the night vision, which is a dream. Don't take your dreams for granted. And there are many of us who sleep, wake up, and we have forgotten our dreams. Because we are too busy to get up. We are so much in a hurry to get up. When you wake up, stay on the bed. Don't take your phone. Shwashama. The first thing you take when you wake up is your shwaji. And you go straight to WeChat. Oh! WeChat is your God. Facebook has become your God. Instagram has become your God. When you wake up in the morning, stay silent and seek the face of the Lord. Majority of the times, dreams we forget come back to us in the midst of the silence. The second kind of vision we have is the closed vision. Closed visions are similarly mental pictures and words that erupt strongly with a communication. So sometimes you are standing there and within you, you feel as though there is a word, a picture ruminating in your heart. It's a closed vision. We also have the open visions, literally standing before you, where you see something and out of the blue, it communicates to you. So in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, and it was overgrown with thistles and thorns, and the field preached to me a sermon. An open vision is when something you behold begins to speak to you, the mind of God. Sometimes you see a color, and from nowhere a verse rings in your heart. Sometimes you see something physically. You are cutting. There was once I was cutting carrots. And as I cut, the word of the Lord came strongly through the cutting of the carrots. Be ye set apart for me. Be ye set apart for me. And as I cut, I was just praying. The Lord can speak to you. Be attentive. And the fourth kind of vision is called the trance. A trance is normally within the phase where you are not awake nor asleep. As though you are physically there. Sometimes it comes strongly looking like a dream. So you feel like you are there. You wake up and it's so real. In the light of that, we also go to another way the Lord speaks to us, by impressions on our hearts. How many of us have had the situation where we just feel restless thinking about something, or we feel burdened thinking about something? Sometimes you are going, you are walking, and out of the blue, someone's name is on your heart. Sometimes you are seated from nowhere, and someone's name is on your heart. The Lord is not reminding you of that person just to check up on the person and say hello. Sometimes the Lord is reminding you of the person to pray for the person. The impressions that the Holy Spirit lays on our hearts are important. There was this day I was preparing to go out. I had one of my favorite jeans. And that was back in my master's time. And as I wore the jeans, I felt very uncomfortable. And guess what? I neglected it. I decided to go. When I went, as I climbed the bus, as I lifted my leg, there was a shout from beneath. There was a rip from beneath my trousers. And I was stuck in that motion. My trousers tore in two equal halves. And as soon as it tore, my spirit just echoed in my heart. I told you not to wear these trousers. Back in 2004, going to St. Augustine's College, my senior high school, I was in a hurry to get to school. So I wanted to go by a cheaper and faster route. And in Ghana, we have buses called Ford buses. They drive recklessly, but they get you there very fast. As I stood there, about to enter, I didn't feel comfortable. But still I entered. And when I entered, instantly, I felt my stomach rumbling. There was a rumble in the jungle. My stomach began to rumble, and I had to depart and find the nearest bathroom. I stayed there, and what I thought would be a single minute ended up being 30 minutes of warfare. And when I came out, my bags had been left on the floor, and the Ford bus had taken off. I went straight to the STCR, the State Transport Corporation. Very safe, but very slow. When I sat in the bus, we went. Just not far away, I saw the Ford bus broken down in an accident. Listen to the impressions of your heart. If you have the Holy Spirit, don't take the guiding of the Holy Spirit for granted. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He is eager to speak to you. You disagree with your husband, you disagree with your wife, and the Holy Spirit is impressing on your heart, go and apologize. But you are hard-headed. I will not apologize. Me, Tofiakwa. Listen to the leading of the Lord. The fourth way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through people. Surround yourself with godly people. Surround yourself with people who can speak to you the mind of God. Don't surround yourself by people who only talk about money. Always talking about football. Always talking about a party. Ask someone sitting beside you, what kind of friends do you have? What kind of friends do you have? Do you have a friend that can text you and say, I am praying for you? Do you have a friend that can text you and tell you, this verse is good for you? Do you have a friend that draws you closer to the Lord? Or you have a friend that is only sending you Celine Dion music? Sending you, give me some of the musicians. Eh? What? Billie Eilish. You have friends that only send you Billie Irish. Is it what Billie what? Irish? What? Billie Eilish. It's okay. Amen. So get friends that can bless you. When you are in trouble, do you have a friend you can text and say, brother, join me in prayer? Do you have a mentor? Some of you, you don't have a mentor. You don't have accountability partners. Nobody can advise you. Nobody can advise you. You need to get a mentor. Get someone that can give you godly advice. Get someone that can be honest with you. You are not too old for a mentor. You are not too old for an accountability partner. I have a pastor friend in High Call, Uncle Tim. Uncle Tim, God willing, is over 80 years old. And he's still growing. And Uncle Tim calls me regularly. Brother Perry, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. And you said, Brother Perry, ask me the common questions. And I begin, Uncle Tim, how is your prayer life going? And you say, Brother Perry, this week has been very busy, so I've not had the opportunity to pray often. And there's an 80-year-old man speaking to me. One day he called me and said, Brother Perry, pray for me. I'm finding difficulty handling my son. Find someone you can talk to who can encourage you in the Lord. You are not meant to be an island. You know, the pack of wolves. The pack of wolves attack the lone animal. The easiest way to be attacked is to be alone. Find a mentor. What should you look for in a mentor? Find someone who is matured in the Lord. I'm not talking about age. Find someone matured in the Lord. And also, not everybody who is old is matured in the Lord. Mind you. Find someone matured in the Lord. Find someone who knows the Lord. Maturity is the first point. Two, find someone that is available. Don't say, I have a mentor when you talk to the person once a year. Don't say you have an accountability partner when you talk to the person sparingly. Pastor Favor from Beijing, every Friday, he used to call me before he relocated to the U.S. He would call me and he would ask me three questions. How is your spiritual walk? How are you treating your body? How are you treating your wife? For over 3 years, he would call me every Friday asking me these questions. He was available. One night, I felt so stuck up in an attack. I called him 2 a.m. I called him. He woke up. We began to pray together. Your mentor must be available. Thirdly, your mentor must have interest in you. He must also have interest in you. It shouldn't be you alone chasing. The person who you are deciding to have as an accountability partner must desire to see you do well. Amen. And I want to remind you, God will speak to you about anything and every part of your life. God will speak to you about your friends, your family, your relationships, your marriage. God will speak to you about your work, your schooling. God is eager to speak to you about every aspect of your life. Don't make it look as though God is only interested in Sunday service or reading the Bible. In the year 2026, God wants to talk to you about your finances. How you are spending money recklessly on H&M. God wants to talk to you about your saving habits. How you don't have any money in your savings. God wants to talk to you about rest. How you are not sleeping well enough. God wants to talk to you about your health. How you need to take care of yourself. God is telling you, go for a checkup. God is telling you, sleep longer. God is telling you to rest. God is telling you, more importantly, to be disciplined. Concerning your habits, what habits do you have? Are you disciplined? And I believe that is one major focus for next year. God wants to touch on the disciplined life of believers. God wants to touch on the habits of believers. God also wants to touch on spiritual growth and maturity in Christ. How matured are you? Are you still a babe? God wants to touch on your service. Are you serving? You have been in the church for how long? Are you serving? Are you serving your wife? Many men do not understand service to wife. Many men think the idea of service is just bringing money. Meanwhile, your wife is so much emotionally detached from you. I thank God all the kids are going to children's service. Sometimes you have to go to your wife and give her a hug with no words spoken. When was the last time you hugged your wife? And if you are single, this message is not for you. When was the last time you went to your wife showing emotional support, care, and genuine love? Serve others. Now to the singles. When was the last time you served your roommate? When was the last time you bought food for your roommate? But anytime he takes something from you, it becomes World War V. Anytime something is not going well in the room, literally, it becomes a fight in the room. Turn to someone, tell the person, serve others. Shake someone by the shoulder, tell the person, in 2026, serve others. So now, how do we know that what we have heard is from the Lord? Because mind you, not everything we hear or see is from the Lord. The devil speaks. In the book of Zechariah, the Bible says, the devil, the spirit of the evil one, gave them a dream to confuse them. The devil gives dreams. The devil speaks into your ear. Remember, we have three voices we hear in our head. The devil speaks. And in this time and age, many people are speaking as though it's of the Lord, but it's not of the Lord. How can you determine that what you have heard is indeed of the Lord? The first point, what does it say? It must agree with the... So it was not there. Abraham Peter. It must agree with the... Whatever dream, whatever word, whatever vision would not contradict the Bible. God will never give you a dream to go and steal someone's wife. God will never give you a dream to go and steal money. Hey, why did you steal the money? The Lord spoke to me in a dream. You're a liar. God will never give you a desire to go and cheat on your wife. Whatever the Lord leads you to do will not contradict Scripture. Because His word is true. His word is true. So when you dream, when you hear any word, just oppose it to Scripture. The second litmus test, there must be a witness within the frame of the New Testament line of prophecy. Romans chapter 8, for my spirit bears witness with the spirit of God that I am a son of God. Whatever word that comes from the Lord will not be devoid of a confirmation from within. When Elizabeth approached Mary and there was that blessing of a seed in her, guess what happened? There was a leap. There was a fountain of joy. Whatever word that comes to you from the Lord will not be so much an outcast to the resonation of your spirit. So sometimes when a word even comes to you, and as though your spirit is fighting it, check it again. The third litmus test, it gives rest and... Mind you, I didn't say it will make you comfortable. Majority of the time, the things God will ask you to do will take you out of your comfort zone. But in accordance to His word in Philippians, He gives peace that surpasses all understanding. You may be wondering, how will I do this? The Lord is telling you, open another branch of your company. And you're like, the first branch is not doing well. It will take you out of your comfort zone, but eventually there will be rest and peace in Christ Jesus. The fourth point, it is pure and love-filled. Because God is love,
Everything that proceeds from God is full of love. And I'll add, it has order. The Spirit of the Lord is a spirit of order. The Spirit of the Lord will not cause you to do things that are out of order. The Spirit of the Lord will not cause you to act out of love. Whatever the Spirit of the Lord will lead you to do is encapsulated by purity. And the final thing, confirm from a fellow believer. Confirm from a fellow believer. You have a dream, you have a burden on your heart, you are struggling. You don't know what to make of it. Talk to mature people. Brother Stephen is here. Brother Stephen, you can wave your hand. Brother Stephen, you can talk to Brother Stephen. Brother Arthur is here. Brother Arthur, you can wave your hand. You can talk to Brother. Talk to someone. Sister Inga is here. You can talk to Sister Inga. Talk to someone. Talk to someone. Talk to someone. And beware of who you talk to. Not every advice is as sweet wine. Not every advice is godly advice. Sometimes the person might even mean well, but it's not for you. So in totality, the best way to check is by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Finally, even as I come to an end, I want to highlight this. Write it down. What did I say? Write it down. Write it down. Whatever the Lord is speaking to you, write it down. Whatever God speaks to you must be written down. Writing down is the first sign of faith. Writing down is the first sign of faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. And the Lord answered me, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still, the vision awaits its appointed. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not. Write it down. And you are not writing it down for the beauty of a notebook and a pen. You are writing it down so that you can revisit it and pray. Amen. So even as I conclude, I want to say this. What sustains a believer is fellowship and obedience. Desire to engage the Lord who wants your engagement. Let's bow down our heads and speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Tell the Lord, Father, I want to hear from you concerning the year 2026. I want to hear from you concerning the next season of my life. Speak to the Lord.